don't take any acryos.
Okay. Okay. Not in your way?
Not in my way. But just, you know, I don't just knock it down by accident. I'm not going to stand. Okay. Thank you. Maybe you want to say something before I start?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't mean about me either. I'm sorry. Not about me. It's about what this is all about. Before.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming to the continuation of the Heart to Heart series, which is really meant to become a forum for guys to hear about Lamaisa, things that we all struggle with. And we all want Kalim to implement in our lives better systems for growing these areas, real hadracha in day-to-day life. There's only going to be one more for this semester, so this is the second to last one. Mirtz Hashem, we'll continue, please God, the semester afterwards. Rav Khan, he said not to talk about him. Just 2 seconds, Rav Khan. Of course, whenever I call him up to address an issue in the yeshiva, he could have 900 other conflicting obligations, and he does.
It's a lot of stress.
He does miracles to make sure to get here. It's just an amazing zechus that we have to hear words from Rav Khan. And specifically today, the topic is Yeshiva Das, because I think all of us struggle with the many, many conflicting responsibilities and stresses in our lives. And how do we do that to keep a certain sense of calmness in our lives so that we can tackle everything we have to do effectively and efficiently? So Baruch Hashem, Rav Khan will help us with that. Thank you.
The truth is really a tall order, because most of the time when I give shiur, my goal is to have the Talmidim more confused when I finish than they were when we began, which only means that they started thinking about the problem. If you talking about life, that's really not such a nice thing to do. If you walk out of here even more miyuash, that is certainly not something that I would want to be guilty of. Rabbi, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the writings of, or the Shiurim, or Divrei Musar, Sichos Musar of the Mira Mashgiach, Rabbi Yerucham Zichrono Livracha. But there is one particular piece which, in a certain sense, addresses it and kind of upends the whole thing. You see, most of the time we think of Yishuv Hadas as a kind of calm, and what we want to achieve that calm is to reduce the number of things that stress us. And you can do that in one of two ways. One of them is to try to become transcendent. That's taken by the... if I had another hour, I'd speak about all the Jews that run to India to become free of this world, because the world is so burdensome to them and so problematic and so frustrating or boring or whatever, and they really want to escape the world. A Jew does not want to escape the world. A Jew wants to engage the world, and a Jew wants to immerse himself in this world, actually. The chaye olam nata besochenu, but it's in this world. So if we had the time, I'd discuss the difference between that kind of approach. But there are people who, meditation, yoga, all of these things, where they have lots of stress and they can't escape their environment, they're not going to go off to India and join an ashram or whatever, but they try to bring the ashram into themselves by transcending their place and time wherever they are, whether it's Manhattan or any other place on earth. That's not a Jewish way. But nevertheless, there is a concept of Yishuv Hadas. For example, there's a Medrash Tanoim that says, right at the beginning of Devarim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mochiach Bnei Yisrael, and we know the many explanations of why he was waiting for that moment to be mochiach, dafka at the end of his days, before he was gone. But the Medrash Tanoim has a different take on it. They say, Loma lo hichichon ela achar mapolis sichon v'og, mipnei shehoisa da'aton mitarefes. They were anxious until that moment. Lefikach himtin lahem ad shenoflu sichon v'og biyodom, v'yoshu es atzom. They inherited their land. They conquered them very successfully. Vinis yashva datam v'chaka chalchichon ad sheyikablu toichacha she'eno dome mekabel toichachas miyushuv adas l'mekabel tochachas mitoch tiruf hadas. And what applies to tochacha, especially tochacha, but what applies to tochacha applies to many other things. It's hard to concentrate, it's hard to focus. Very, very famous Gemara in Masechus Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, Machshava Mayelis. Machshava Mayelis is a funny expression. Mayelis means so many different things. But in this place, in this situation, it means it's successful in ruining your learning. What's Machshava? So Rashi says in Gemara Sanhedrin, Dav Chavava Medbeis, you may have learned it last year, Dagas Halev Al Mizonosav Shel Adam. So Rashi's concerned about Parnassah. You know, Parnassah could be college classes. Parnassah could be dating. I mean, it doesn't have to be Parnassah. He's just speaking in general, Mizonosav Shel Adam. So if a person is busy thinking about Mizonosav Shel Adam, Mayelis Mahanyo Lishakeach Limudo. It's successful, it's effective in doing damage. It causes damage. Shenema, quotes a pasuk in Iyov, Mefer Machshavos Arumim V'lois Asenu Yedeim Tushia. So Rashi says, Noisen Lohem Mezoinois U'mevatel Machshavos Milibam. Those Machshavos Shelohoyu Manichin Osan Lasos Tushia, which is Torah. Torah, Lohem Manichin is Tushia, Shemateh Shez Koicha Sheladam. Same Gemara. Then the Gemara continues, Omar Rabba, Im Asukin Lishma, Eina Mayelis. If, on the other hand, they're really Isaac and Torah Lishma, then nothing will disturb them. Eina Mayelis, again, you have to get in your mindset that Mayelis means damage. So Eina Mayelis, it's not going to do any damage. Shenema, Rabbis Machshavis Belev Ish, Vatzas Hashem Hisokum. Rabbis Machshavis Belev Ish, which could deter him from learning, which could confound him, confuse him, preoccupy him, obsess him, and nevertheless, Atzas Hashem he, Aitzo sheyesh badvar Hashem he tokum li olam. That's the Gemara. So, I remember I had once a Talmud who many years ago, probably could have been one of your parents, but Rabbi said, "What's a Talmud?" And he came consistently late, and finally. I told him, you know, says, Rebbe, I don't know what to do. I keep trying. So I said, why don't you get an alarm clock? I said, that's a good idea. So he got himself an alarm clock. It worked for 3 days. I told him without the snooze alarm, without that button. So it worked for 3 days. And the fourth day, he comes late again. So he walks in. I say, no. He says, Rabbis machshavis v'levish. So I said, v'atzas Hashem hi. Taku. But Lamaisa, this is a Gemara which tells you something unusual. What does learning Lishma have to do with your Daigus? So, and the emison is, the question is a little bit deeper than at first blush. Because if you're telling me a person has tremendous emuna, you're speaking, Rashi is speaking about Parnosa. Okay, so you're worried about Parnosa. If you have tremendous emuna, you have a lot of bitachon. If you have a lot of bitachon, you don't have to worry that much because you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide. But to learning Torah Lishma doesn't have anything to do with bitachon per se. That's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying something about the learning itself. There's something about the quality of the learning that gives you a zuchus. It's almost like a siyata d'shmaya, which means to me that when the Gemara says Machshava Mayeles, it doesn't have to be. So the circumstances that create all of the stresses can remain in place, and nevertheless a person can be Matzliach. That's what I get from this Gemara. When the Gemara says Lishma, they're not telling you how to get rid of those Machshavas. They're telling you that Eina Mayeles, it's not going to do damage. So why is that? Why is that so? How does that work? And more than that, is it an Eitzah for us? So first of all, the phrase Yishuv Hadas is used all the time. It's an interesting expression. I remember once when I was learning Haksava Kabbalah for other reasons, I was writing on the Targum, and he quotes the Targum very often, and he has his ideas about the pshat of different words. So I encountered in Vayikra his explanation of the word Shavas and its relationship to Yishuv Hadas. And this is what he writes. Shabbos, Pirish Loshen Menucha Vehefsek Ubitu Mimlocha. Okay? Uledaiti Nichlal Boy Gamho Iyun Vahakira. Min Shafti Aniva Ere Tachas Hashemish. Achere Shuvi Nichamti. It means speculation, introspection, analysis. Shehumi Loshen Yishuv Adas. Shepidivre Rabboseinu. The Tam Shabbos, Yoim Hamiyuchod Lachakira Udrisha Binyone Hashem Yisborach. Asher Yifane Boy Yisraeli Daito Yimachshavte Rakal Dvorim Hanoigim Elov Yisborach. Ukema Morom, Loinitnu Shabbosis Li Yisrael Raklasik Bohem Toira. For Inyan Mavu Yosef Aseris Hadibra Shabbi Yisrael talks about it more. He learns that Shabbos actually comes to Yishuv Adas, and that gave me an idea. What is the concept of menucha in Yiddishkeit? What is Yishuv Hadas? If you can't escape the world, what is the Torah way? What's the Torah's etzah of how to cope, really? That's what it is. And what does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says that if he learns Torah lishma, then his Torah will not be damaged by the external pressures of whatever that come into him in his daily life, Rashi particularly, the Da'agas HaParnosa. Which brings me to Reb Yeruchim. Before we get to Reb Yeruchim, there was an uncle of Moran, of the Beis Yosef. His name was Reb Yitzchak Karo, Reb Yitzchak Reb Yosef Karo. And he wrote a sefer of on Chumash called the Toldos Yitzchak. And in the Toldos Yitzchak, he describes what Yaakov Avinu meant in the bracha to Yisachar, Yisachar Chamor Gorem, Roves Bein Amishpesoyim, Vayar Menucha Ki Toives Haaretz Ki Naema, Vayet Shichmo Lizbol, Vayhil Lemas Oved. And of course, the question is obvious. If he sees Menucha is good, then what would you expect him to do? First you have to put on a sombrero, it doesn't work without a sombrero. And then you put on that shmata over you like that. And then you sit against a wall and you bask in the sun. You have a siesta. That is what a person who sees that menucha is good. Vayar menucha ki toiv, es haaretz ki na'ema. It's pleasant, it's not raining, it's not cold, it's not freezing. It's wonderful. Then what is the rest of the pasuk? Vayet shichmo lizbo. It's a stira minei ube. So he says as follows. Lefi sha'oisik b'toyre tzorich arba tznoyim. He needs four particulars to work for him. Ha'echad sheyielo koach gadol. Because Torah's mateshes koach shel adam. Habei sheyielo yishuv adas v'leyielo toyrach v'tzar ela menucha. So far we're not doing very well. Koach maybe, but Yishuv Adas, no, we have plenty of tirchos and we have all kinds of tzar, whether it's midterms or things that are really serious, but whatever they are, we have all kinds of things. Shenema, right? Why do you have to have Yishuv Adas? Shenema lo me'ever layomi, einon ba'oiskim b'schoira. He quotes the Gemara in Erev in that way. Lo b'sachrona means people who are mavulbol in their business activities. Hagimel, Shetiya ha'aret sheyoshiba oisaperos rabim ubezol. Well, there's no reason why he should have to worry about parnasa if the parnasa is easy and the rent is cheap and so on. Hadalet sheyelo chayfetz lomod. He has to have cheshek. L'rishayna amar chamor gorem balkoyach. L'beiz vayar menucha kitoiv. L'gimel des aretz ki naima. Right? And I like the Targum says, v'yas ara ki ma'avda perin. And the fourth one, vayet shichmo lizbo. That he has cheshek to learn. That's how he teaches Vayet Shichmo Lizbo. So there's no stira. On the contrary. So according to the Toldos Yitzchak, we are really in trouble. Because what he's describing is a Yisachar that has such a perfect environment that, of course, he needs the cheshek to learn. Because you can go to Dyumsis, like Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, and come out laning HaCheresh HaYolibam. So going to a resort, you'll have all of those wonderful things, but you may stop learning altogether and forget your learning. So you have to have that immersion in Torah, that cheshek for learning, but the environment is so blissful and so perfect, it really has almost nothing to do with the environment that we encounter here in the yeshiva. That's not a negative statement, that's a statement of reality. We have tremendous pressures. So how do you... The Toldos Yitzchak is not an Eitzah for us. That's, we are not that Yisachar. We're not the Yisachar who has that much kayach, but more than that, you have to have the Yishuv Adas, you have to have the Peros Rabim Ubezol, which represents the whole environment, has to be conducive. Maybe we have a Chayfetz Lomot. But our Chayfetz Lomot is often stymied by all of the other things that are Mafriya. So that's what brings me to the Das Torah. That's the name of the Chibur of Rabbi Yerucha. He didn't write it, he spoke it, but his writings were put together by one of his sons. So what does he say? So he says that the Torah was given in a midbar. And it's very interesting. He considers the circumstances in the midbar to be extremely deleterious to peace of mind. Either because the circumstances physically were such, but you'll tell me, but they had the mun and the bear and this and that or whatever. So on the contrary, they were in a cocoon and they were in a perfect environment. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ochati lo chesed nurayich, avas klotzeich, lechtech achray bamidbar, be'eretz loz ruah. Maybe it's the worry and the fear and the concern that since you're always subject to the ratzon avoyre in such a way, ador deya, and this is so unnatural, an environment, because naturally they would be full of nechoshim v'akrabim and without water, without food, and in a very, very difficult and miserable place. So that itself creates incredible anxiety. V'horaya, the Ribbono Shel Olam says later on, v'ya'ancha v'ya'rivecha v'ya'chilcha asamon asher lo yadata v'lo yadata l'man v'ydiacha kilo alecha levada. But in another place it says, l'man anoyzcha l'nasei secha v'ytivcha b'achri secha. So it was a tremendous nisayon. So he wants to know why the brinksmanship. Can I ask the same question by Kriyas Yamsuf? A miserably suffering people now is set free. Why aren't they given carte blanche? Why aren't they given the opportunity to see the demise of the Mitzrayim in front of them and not have any daigus whatsoever? Why do you begin the journey out of Mitzrayim with tremendous angst? He doesn't mention that, I'm just extending his idea. And by the time he's finished, after several paragraphs, he comes to a very, very fundamental conclusion. He says that the idea of menucha that the world has, which is the absence of mafriyim and the lack of pressure, is a tremendous mistake. He says if you look at the door in the midbar, you will discover that menuchas hanefesh b'lishum mafriyim is exactly not the recipe for hatzlocha. He says, otherwise HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have brought him to Eretz Yisrael and given them the Torah there, ish tachas gafno, v'ish tachas te'enosa. I don't know necessarily, this is a footnote what I'm about to say, I don't necessarily that we have to delve into whether the door of the midbar is exactly the model or not, because where he's coming from in his parshonos is not nearly as important as the point itself that he's about to make. But he quotes Vayancha Vayarivecha in Dvarim Ches and so on. He says, Achrei kol inuyim vatiltulim, he said, Bishviras haguf, oz hu shenosam lohem es haTorah, avol amitas hadvarim keinu, kmo sheatzma shel Torah hinei hi kula meira umalamedes laodom, Kach derech nisinosa is also a limud. In other words, you have to look at how the Torah was given and the environment within which it was given to learn a great deal about what it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned for Klal Yisrael and for each and every one of us as well. Not only when he gave us the Torah, but as a derech hachayim. And he says, Hinei lekabolas haTorah vaday tzrichim lemenucha rabba, avo ma nikra menucha be'emes. What is menucha? Al zeh limed lano HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'ofen nisinoso shel haTorah dafka b'midbar, that the world is mistaken into thinking that the way to menucha is menucha saguf. And what he drives at is as follows. And I think that in particular, for a person who is not planning to spend his entire life in the Kaisle Beis HaMedrash somewhere sequestered in Meir She'arim or whatever, and doesn't want to know from the world b'chlal, I think this is a critical piece to learn over and over again. We have the opportunity here in the yeshiva to live out and to learn precisely what he has in mind. He says like this, a person who's taught the menucha of the absence of mafriyim, there's no life like that. Unless you escape from the world completely and you have everything going for you, you'll never have that kind of life. There are always mafriyim. I once, when I was much younger and frankly stupid, so I thought that, you know, we'll have a baby and the baby will cry and I'll pick up the baby at night so that my Rebbetzin doesn't have to, you know, she can sleep. And I'll hold the baby with one hand and I'll hold the Gemara with the other hand and I'll become a big Talmud Chacham at the same time. And then the first baby came. He happens to be right now a tremendous Talmud Chacham himself, probably bigger than I am. But in any case, he didn't stop crying for about 3 months. Ad kedei kach that there was no Gemara and there was no, I couldn't even read a comic book. and that's what it was. So there's no such thing as not, even the biggest hatzlocha has tremendous mafriyim. Kal v'chomer, cholila v'chas, bar minan, there are all kinds of things. There's a lot going on in a person's life, in his family life, in the world. You know, as a Rav, I mean, I don't have to tell you, you know yourselves. How is a person managing? So the Oriental will say, you have to learn that everything comes from desire and suffering is from desire. You don't have to have any desire. If you have no desire, you will not have suffering. Basically, you cease to exist because you transcended the Olam HaGashmi in Gansan. That is not the Jewish way. The Jewish way is the exact opposite. So how do we manage? So he says as follows. He says what the secret of menucha is, equanimity, to maintain an equilibrium when the forces are pushing and pulling in every possible direction. But of course, that is the problem. How do you do that? Without escaping those forces and running for your life, how do you manage to control those forces? So he has the following to say. He says the ikar of a person's problem is not the pressures that are on him, but the fact that he is fractured, the fact that he is in pieces. He's not whole within himself. He says, Menucha amitis hamida nitzreches lekabolas haTorah, and for that matter to limud haTorah, and to proper shmiras haMitzvahs, I would add, lo titochen kiyim b'shviras haGuf. He doesn't mean to mortify yourself. He means something else. Behinotel mimenu rov no chiyusov, bahamit kol ta'anugosov, v'im lamros kol zeh lo yishover, elo al matzovo yamod ubeminuchoso yishoyer, ki oz hihi ha-menucho shal yodo mesugel odom lekabola satora. He says, on the contrary, instead of running away from the storm, you embrace the storm. You actually run into the storm. You accept the mafriyim. And that is the secret, because if every time something comes up against you, you're going to try to run, and you won't be able to run, then the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to throw in the towel. You're going to give up. And you can say, under these circumstances, I can't. When will you? When everything is all right. When I have more time, when I have more kayach, when I have more peace of mind, when my parents stop bothering me, or my parents start bothering me, each one depends upon what he needs. But everything is going to be a kind of tomorrow if, later if. And in the later if mentality, it's not shaykh to be matzliach, even if you're not a Jew. Kal v'chomer in avodas Hashem and in limud haTorah. The Torah was meant within the context of every possible mafriya. That's why the Torah provides responses and answers to every single circumstance of life, whether they are happy circumstances or, unfortunately, the other kind. And that is what he says. But he says, ve'eich yatzliach, let's be more precise. Ve'eich yatzliach ha'odom lovo lishtalmus kozos. So he says, achas hi haderech shetovilehu lezu ha'menucha hashlema. And you have to understand something. There were people in the yeshiva that didn't have a penny to their name. There were people who were learning in Shanghai that hadn't the slightest idea of whether their family was alive or dead. in Europe. They left their families. They didn't know that they'll ever see them again. You would never expect that kind of matzav. They were hungry. They were starving. Many of them had rickets and beriberi and all of these other machlis because they didn't have the vitamins and the nutrients and the citrus fruits. And af al pi kein, there's a Leib Baksh Zichrono Livracha, who was one of the people who left Shanghai, came to America, established a yeshiva in Detroit, happens to be a relative of ours, so we knew him personally. And by every simcha, when he spoke, the first thing that he said was the happiest and most wonderful time in his life was the years that he had learning in Shanghai. This isn't an escapist learning. This is an immersion learning which kind of manages to say that my goal, and this is what he's about to say, Rav Yerucham, my goal, my orientation, my value system allows me to function within the greatest and most difficult matzavim. It's an amazing thing. And, believe it or not, he just quotes the Mesilas Yesharim. What is the Tachlis Achas? To what goal? For what purpose? Ki al kein yimtza or yimotzei tomid b'matzav echad mechuvan la'oso tachlis. He says the secret is you can't be fractured. There's no such thing as morning and afternoon and night. There's no such thing as Torah and then my secular studies. There's no such thing as my life here and my dates. There's no such thing as my life here and my life at home. It's all one chativa. Because in every one of those circumstances, I have only one question. What does Ribbono Shel Olam want? And he feels that if a person has that perspective, then no matzav can break him. There's nothing that can say to him, and he's not telling you that how you can manage in 24 hours to do the work of 48 hours. That no one is going to tell you. And he's not going to tell you that if you have to learn a difficult Tosfos and your head is not Reb Kiva Eger, that you'll be able to see the Tosfos in 5 seconds and understand the Tosfos instantaneously. You know, I mentioned, Reb Mordechai Pagramansky, Zichrono Livracha, I mentioned that he came, he didn't know Maseches Yevamos when he arrived in Telz. And the Bachrim, then he became the tchatchke. You know what a tchatchke is? A toy. But he became the plaything of all the Rebbeim because he was such an incredible genius and an unbelievable Yirei Shamayim. And he was a youngster, he was 17 years old, whatever. And he knew all the Masechtas that he learned. He knew from cover to cover with all the Rishonim and Achronim. But he never learned Maseches Yevamos. He started late. You know, he came from a kind of a modern Orthodox background, I would say. There was no such thing in those days, but that's really what it was. So they were busy feeding him with all kinds of stuff, you know. He had to get a good education and this and that and whatever. But by the time Reb Elia Lapian got his hands on him and he went off to the Talmud Torah of Kelm, anyhow, they sent him to Telz. And by the time he got to Telz, he was already something of an established Talmud Chacham. But he didn't know Yevamos. So they started shepherding him in Yevamos, you know. They asked him this question, that question. Of course, he didn't know. They were trying to pull him down, at least a notch or two. So he decided that he has to respond to them. So how do you respond to them? You have to know Yevamos. So he took off 2 days, learned Yevamos, and then he went back and he answered all their questions, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Rashba, and Ritva. You know the Ritva and Yevamos that Rav Aaron Yaffe, Zichrono Livracha, put out with all the horrors on the bottom. So, but that's not us. So we're not going to learn Yevamos in 2 days, and we're not going to learn Maseches Kiddushin in 3 days. The fact is that there are certain limitations that are because we are human, because we are physical, because our minds are limited, because we do not have the strength and the capacity, and we don't have the time. So anyone who has any Havam is, and I'm going to give you the secret of how to do the most you can do, and I don't recommend it. Believe me, I don't recommend it, even though but sari harab, that's what I've done all my life. But I don't recommend you should sleep 2 hours a night. It's not going to work. And that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is mindset. That's where you can develop a certain perspective. And the perspective that he says is a very simple one on the surface. and really very complicated on the other hand. He says a soldier, they have boot camp. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam did to Bnei Yisrael at the very beginning. He put them through boot camp. He says, I want you to be in circumstances where you need me and you have to depend on me 24/7. That's a very difficult thing for a human being. That means he doesn't have a ground under his feet. Because at any moment it can shift, at any moment it can change. You are in a midbar. And you don't have natural food. And you can't expect anything tomorrow. So under those circumstances, how will you function? That's the boot camp on a spiritual level of the Jew who's about to receive the Torah. That's what he says. He says, imagine taking a person as a soldier and bringing him into a perfect environment and telling him, you know, rest, relax. So there has to be R&R. But the R&R is after the boot camp, and the R&R is 2 days, and the boot camp is 6 weeks. And that's really what he says. Chein hu bin yoneinu. Hamenucho amitis hanidreshes l'kabolas ha-Torah. And he doesn't mean just Kabbalah Torah. He means our avodas Hashem in general, our living the Torah. He dafka ubedafka menucha bo mishviras haguf v'ham otas tzrochav. He says you have to say I don't need this and I don't need that and this is not critical and that's not important. Shem yishoya b'menucha acharei kol atiltulim v'shviras b'matzavim shel midbar shomeim shel vayancha vayarivecha ki oz yiel ben chayu. I just want to make a point about what I just read, and I don't want you to make a mistake about what I'm trying to say. I am not suggesting for a moment, and my Talmidim, who are my Shia over the years, they know that I've never told them secular studies are worthless. I've never told them that you shouldn't get a good degree and a good grade point average, and you shouldn't study for your midterms or for your finals. If you don't want to do that, then don't do any of these things. But what's the goal and what's the purpose? And what are you up against? That's the question. And I think that what he's saying is not that if you have no needs, because this is not necessary and this is not necessary. The question is, what is necessary? I think that's the secret. So I want certain things. Why? What makes you think that that is what you need? That's the first cheshbon. And in the world today, I think the pressure is entertainment becomes an unbelievable need. And if I don't have the entertainment, then I'm not real. I'm not functioning. So it becomes an amazing thing. That which is supposed to give you menucha becomes the challenge, becomes the quest. And the quest makes a person miserable because he doesn't have it. The same thing with all kinds of taivas. The exercise of a taiva is an unbelievably depressing thing because you can never fulfill it. So chasing after money is an unbelievably depressing thing because you'll never have enough. And the people who have tremendous amounts of money, that's all they do all day. They try to make more money. That's what he means. He's saying, Machoi Vasei Ba'alama. I think that's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin means. The question that he asked at the very beginning is, how do you relate the notion of Torah Lishma? How does that resolve the problem of Machshava Mayalas, that Machshava Tirdais damage a person's learning because he can't concentrate? So Torah Lishma is going to make him concentrate. The answer is yes. What it means is, when you have something that's valuable enough to you, then you create priorities and definitions. And you have to say that this is the goal. I think that if a person in yeshiva asks himself, what's my goal? Where am I headed? What do I want out of life? And then he plugs that in into the equation called Torah, the equation called mitzvahs. I think that's the beginning of a solution. A person is not in limbo. A person is not that each day is taking its toll because that's what I have to do today. That may be what you have to do today because it's on your schedule, but it doesn't have to be what you have to do today because that's your value. Because this value competes with that value. That person has to come to a maskana of who he is. And in that, I think, the clarity of Rabbi Yerucham comes to the fore. He says that a person has to know Ma choy vasoy b'yolamay. Now, it's a very musadik idea. Another person would come and give a presentation like mine, and he could leave the Mussar out of it completely. He could say, you know, you can't be fractured, you can't be distracted, you can't get involved in everything, you have to make a decision about what is important and what's not important, organize your life, and then you will be much happier because you won't be chasing after the wind. And all of that is true. But that's not what Rav Yerucham is saying. He's saying something else, much more profound. He's saying that whatever, because you see, it really is something that you'll only discover when you're much, much older. But whatever pressures you think you have, you are right now, the vast majority of us, in a Gan Eden of our lives. The tirchus and the tirdos of a married person, a person with a lot of children, and children come in all kinds of packages. And you have achrayas to the tzibur of all kinds, and there are all kinds of nisyonos and taivas that pull and push, and you always have to negotiate. And then you have to make a parnosa. There's a difference between making a parnosa and getting through college, and making a parnosa, you have to support an entire family and pay tuitions and so on and so forth. Not to mention whatever the Rabbanu Shalom throws at you, it should always be good, Be'ezus Hashem. But the nekuda is that in that kind of life, which is not the Gan Eden of being a Talmud in the yeshiva, this is bliss compared to real life. Real life is a difficult. It's an emek habocha, not poshut olam hazeh. How do you manage it? The answer is a certain equanimity, a certain stability that comes out of understanding that whatever it is a chelik of my avodas Hashem. So when a person's thrust with a nisayon, the nisayon is also a chelik of his avodas Hashem. And he takes that nisayon and makes it into something that is a plus instead of a minus by engaging the nisayon. So if a person is suffering for panosa reasons, for example, can't find a job, there are two attitudes. One is that he walks around the entire day. I'm not talking about bitachon now. I'm talking about an attitude. He walks around the whole day in a bahala, what's going to be with me and how am I going to pay my bills? Another person could go around the whole day knowing that he doesn't know what's going to be with him and how he's going to pay his bills. And it's not that he's smiling and happy and say, well, whatever it is, for sure, Rabban Shalom's going to take care of me. That's a very, very high madrega. A person really feels that way. I'm talking about the rest of us. The point is that that's my nisayon. And how do I respond to that nisayon? That's what the Rambam says, that simcha is a great avoda. Why is it simcha an avoda? Because the circumstances that you're in don't necessarily create an environment or a feeling of simcha that comes naturally. This is what I wanted to share with you. I wish I had much more time. But the nekuda is that Rabbi Rucham's idea in the Toldos Yitzchak is about this pasuk is completely opposite. Rabbi Yerucham said that Vayara Menucha Kitoiv is not the Menucha that we think it is. It isn't the beautiful environment, the most wonderful circumstance, the perfect matzav. It's not Ishtachas Gafno. The Oretz isn't Na'ema in that way. Vayara Menucha Kitoiv es Oretz ki Na'ema is the Oretz that he sees as good, which is the Oretz that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends to him in the environment that he's in, so that he should be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in exactly that matzav. When a person has that attitude, that this is my matzav, and I own the matzav, and everything merges together to become one big piece of Avodas Hashem, my davening in the morning, and my learning, and my work, and my worries, it's all Avodas Hashem. It's an entirely different integration, and the person is in a matzav of Shabbos. That's why Chazal tells us the Talmud Chacham is Bechinas Shabbos. Because the Talmud Chacham has that integration. That's what Torah Lishma is. So when you learn Torah Lishma, you don't have Machshava Moelas, not because you don't have those Machshavas. It doesn't banish the Machshavas. He's not telling you that you're going to be so immersed in Torah that you're going to forget about everything else. I don't think that the people in Shanghai forgot about their parents. It's not shaykh to forget about your parents. But the learning Lishma gives you a perspective that is the ultimate machavas of olamo. So he's able to gain a view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the world and of himself, that somehow is able to integrate even that churban. That doesn't mean he explains it. He just integrates it. He can live within that context. That's what Rabbi Yeruchim was driving at. So he says, Vayet Shichmo Lizbo Vahilamas Oved is actually the Poel Yotze of the Menucha that Rabbi Yeruchim is talking about. And he says, that's why Yisachar became the Talmud Chacham. See, the Toldos Yitzchak, he says, Yisachar came the Talmud Chacham, Ibnei Yisachar, Yodebino Leitim, because he had everything going for him. And Rabbi Yeruchim says the exact opposite almost. He says, Lehefech, the way that Yisachar succeeded is because he was able to see the world as a hechetimtza, regardless of what's happening to him. So he can see this as an opportunity for emuna. He can see this as an opportunity for bitachon. He can see this as an opportunity for chesed. You know, you see sometimes we feel that we're drowning, we see the guy next to me drowning even more. Person cares about that fellow, all of a sudden there's a different hasag of life, different hasag of what I'm here for, and what I can accomplish, even in my matzav, and so on and so forth. Bezus Hashem, I hope that some of this was helpful. And it's kedai to look at the piece of Torah yourselves. Of course, it's in the Biurim, in the Das Torah, Rav Yeruchim, on the Pasuk in Mayachi, Vayar Menucha Ki Toi Vesaharetz Ki Noi. That's lachem. See you.
It's exactly what I thought the real